Jesus is on the move. On the move, on the journey, on the way to Jerusalem. And this man runs up to him. What do you think is going on inside of this man? Running up to Jesus. Hearing that he's coming, seeing that he's there, and making his way to him. An eagerness, an excitement. This is something for which I've been waiting, and now is the moment. And then the description continues in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Then he kneels before him, that there's a proper disposition, a proper understanding. There's a humility that Jesus deserves. And then a question is asked. And it's a good one. This is a question that all of us have interest in hearing the answer. What must I do to inherit everlasting life? What must I do to inherit everlasting life? If I wasn't tuned in to the encounter between the man and Jesus, I am now, because I got a stake in that question myself. I'm interested in that. Eternity's a long time. What Jesus doesn't say in that moment is there's nothing you can do. He doesn't say that. He lists certain of the commandments, the ones that really have to do with social interaction of the 10. And the man is feeling comfortable and confident because he really has sincerely and genuinely ascribed his life towards abiding by those commandments of God. And that might make a nice little Disney ending right there. But Jesus loves him as he loves us. And love compels us to speak the truth, always with charity. But it compels us to be truthful. And Jesus cannot but say to him, there's one thing you lack. And maybe he had a sense of that. We don't know that. Mark doesn't tell us what was going on inside of the man's head. But I have been in situations where I've been compliant with behavior. I've done what I've been told to do. But maybe I haven't done it for really the right reasons. And I can kind of feel it inside of me. And on occasion, I've had someone's love bring forth truth. I can think of some instances with my own parents. There's something else, isn't there? How did you know? Well, they knew, not from secrecy, they knew from love. And they couldn't but ask the question. And it's out of love, and Mark gives us that very description that Jesus speaks to this man and that he speaks to us. There's one thing more that's required. That you are clinging and staking a claim to certain things as your own dominion, as your own possession, and not as gift of God. For this man, it happened to be material possessions, but it need not be. I want you to think of the Lord of the Rings and the ring. It's sort of a moment of my precious, right? What is it to? What am I clinging to steadfastly and demanding that it's mine? I've got it coming to me after all. I worked really hard. In my own life, I haven't been as beset by material possessions, although I've had moments, but by and large, that hasn't been the great temptation for me to claim as my own as much as some other things. You know, for many years, I was really compelled to seek reputation by means of what others thought, and especially what others in authority thought. Claiming it as my own. And not just surrendering who I am, imperfect that I always am, to God and truthfully with others. Doing, in many instances, what was right, but not always for the right reasons. Boxes that could be checked, but it was missing the right intentions. When we seek to impress others, as opposed to simply being authentic and genuine and real, that can be an example of that. I'm thinking also maybe something really disappointing and devastating has happened. Maybe it's even an injustice and a cruelty that has been experienced. And maybe we say, I deserve to be angry. Don't you know what happened? Boy, it's even a natural reaction to kind of make a fist, isn't it? You know, it's I. How dare you tell me to think otherwise? But one day leads to a week, which leads to a month, which leads to a year, which leads to an even longer time. Maybe it's fear of the future. Maybe you're in a moment right now where the clinging is uncertainty over what's around the next corner or over the next hill. Maybe there's tremendous uncertainty that's evoking fear, and it's paralyzing you to be present in the only moment that is guaranteed, which is the here and the now, because of tremendous preoccupations to which you say, well, you don't understand everything that's going on and what I have to worry about. See, this isn't a proclamation of wealth as a sin and poverty as a virtue in terms of a material sense. That's not what Jesus is teaching. But that to which we claim possession wholly and entirely as our own, there's no room for that to be brought with us into eternal life. That kind of baggage has got to be released. Let me illustrate this with a story. I had the great blessing of living with not one, but two marvelous priests over the years who hail from India. Really, really holy men that really taught me important life lessons and were tremendous priestly examples for me at younger ages when I lived with them. One was Father Joe's Pantaplam Tortil, and the other was Father George Marathi Parampal. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to say those names just because it took months to learn how to say them. There's a lot of letters in those names. Father Joe's has 19 letters in Pantaplam Tortil. I've never felt so good about my own name with four letters. And it was Father Joe's who shared with me this story that I've never forgotten. And he shared in an area of India that was beset by problems with wild monkeys who were spooking livestock and damaging crops. Not unlike situations we have in our own country at various places where there are wild animals that create problems, and how do we capture them and how do we relocate them, you know, in a way that's ethical and humane. So the trap that would be employed was taking a simple box, anchoring it to the ground, or they would, in some cases, in poor areas, they might take a gourd and they might carve out a hole in that gourd and use ropes to tie it to a stake to the ground. And as he told me, the wild monkeys especially found macadamia nuts delicious. So you kind of leave a little trail, you have them spilled over, you have them inside of that, and the monkey eventually comes, sticks the hand into the small hole, grabs those nuts, and guess what? Yeah. And you look at it and you say, dumb monkey, let go. And then I think of my own life. With some things that I've just been insisting upon as my own, my possession. And maybe even others saying to me, dummy, let go. Let go.